Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. We've got an uprising that's taking place over inside of Iran. Jolani is already going back on his terms from his meeting with Donald Trump. It's like Trump didn't learn his lesson when he was trying to cut deals with Putin, and Putin decided to just ignore everything that they talked about. You'd think that working with that communist world leader would have taught Trump a lesson, but it certainly didn't. So now he decided he's just going to do business with a terrorist, and well, guess what? That terrorist doesn't look like he's going to go through. Good question on what the heck is going to happen in the Middle East as Palestinians are fleeing and are getting turned away from countries like South Africa. But we've got other ones like Italy that thought it'd be a good idea to bring all of these Palestinians in. All of that and a heck of a lot more, including Epstein file update, coming at you guys this morning. And today's episode is being brought to you guys by Upwork. Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this as a small business owner, and somebody that has been dealing in this space for a very, very long time. When it is time to scale up, you have to scale up. And hiring the right help makes a big difference. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where Upwork comes into play. Instead of spending through weeks of sorting through random resumes, Upwork Business sends a curated shortlist of expert talent to your inbox in hours. Trusted, top-rated freelancers vetted for skills and reliability and rehired by businesses like yours. If you're overextended and understaffed, Upwork Business Plus helps you put in top-quality freelancers fast. Get instant access to the top 1% of talent on Upwork in marketing, design, AI, and more. Ready to jump in and take your work off the plate. When finding talent you can trust feels impossible, it's easy to default to do everything yourself. Upwork Business Plus sources vets and shortlist proven experts so you can stop doing it all and delegate with confidence. Right now, when you spend $1,000 on Upwork Business Plus, you'll get a $500 credit. Go to upwork.com/save now and claim the offer before December 31st, 2025. Again, that's upwork.com/save, S-A-V-E. Scale smarter with top talent and $500 in credit. Terms and conditions apply. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I hope you're ready for one heck of a show, because I know I am, because stuff's getting crazy. Before we go overseas, let's take a look at some of the dumb people over here in the United States of America. I still think it's okay to conduct violence against peaceful protesters. See, this right here, what we have up on the screen is a peaceful protester, and you can see the guy in the car doesn't like his protesting, but it doesn't turn out so good for him.
He lost. All that hate. It's unfortunate that it happened, but...
Unfortunate that it happened. You think this situation is bad for him? Like, he sits there and grinds, and whoop, whoop. In comes the hot fuzz, ready to go over and freaking smash, man. I hope that guy ended up getting arrested just for being an idiot. Now, everybody was questioning what the heck was going on over at UC Berkeley, and I did a little bit digging into UC Berkeley, and guess what? The police chief over at UC Berkeley, and for those that don't know, they had that horrible freaking riot the other night when TPUSA showed up. Well, guess who is the police chief over at UC Berkeley? That'd be this lady. She also happened to be the Capitol police chief on... Dun-dun-dun-dun, January 6th. Now, I want you to listen to the words coming out of this lady's mouth, and this is something that I hear echoed across all of these freaking liberal states where bad things just tend to happen.
When I started with U.S. Capitol Police, there were zero, as in no persons of color and no women in leadership positions. I wanted to be a change agent, not only for my organization, but for the profession. I didn't want any women to have the experiences that I had when I was oftentimes sitting in a room that was occupied by only white men, and some of them who thought that I didn't deserve a seat at the table.
Well, you clearly don't think that white men deserve a seat at the table because you're just surrounded by white men, right? Maybe there is a reason why there's white men in those positions, because we are more likely to take on those particular roles because your race and demographic honestly has a pretty bad outlook on police and are raising their kids to think that they are directly the enemy and that they're going to kill them. Ask me how I know. Now, if you're questioning why things are going on like that over at UC Berkeley, now you freaking know. Now, Trump has started a freaking firestorm when he invited this man into the White House. Some of you guys may have seen this video. This is Al Jilani, now Al Sharaa, excuse me, or Al Jilani. Here's Trump spraying his freaking cologne on the guy, probably because he stinks like crap. Anyways, Trump actually entrusted this guy with a lot, and I mean a lot, talking about releasing sanctions and billions of dollars to go back into Syria. The guy's a former member of Al-Qaeda, for crying out loud. He was fighting and killing U.S. troops over inside of Iraq. Trump invited him to the White House on the Marine Corps' birthday, pissed off a ton of vets. And of course, that was the day before freaking Veterans Day, and he's parading them around. Well, now it appears that we might know some details about what they actually talked about. I found a little report, and I want to put this up on your screen because everybody wanted to know. Now, allegedly, this is what actually happened. Now, this guy has been fairly reliable. That's why I'm bringing this information to you when it comes to things that are going on in the Middle East. He said that there was a backdoor deal that basically ended up taking place where Trump had this meeting with Jilani for about 30 minutes, and this is actually what they ended up discussing. In order for those sanctions to get released, number one, Trump is going to give him a six-month trial run. And one of the very first things that's on this list, number one, of course, and if you're on the, you know, I hate Jews side of the house, or you stand against Israel, whatever, the very first thing was signing a normalization agreement with Israel, also known as the Abraham Accords. The United States requested the Jilani regime to join the Abraham states in full normalization with Israel. That includes opening up embassies, that includes capitals, that includes visiting and all of that other crap that goes in it. And by the way, border disputes. Now, Jilani doesn't exactly like the fact that Israel is in charge of the Golan Heights. It's said that he ends up reigning from that region. I'm going to disagree with that. Other thing that he has is expulsion of foreign fighters from Syria. The U.S. demanded that all foreign fighters, without exception, be expelled and handed over to their home governments. Now, that's a very interesting one within itself, because the reason Jilani and HTS did not join ISIS, according to Jilani himself, is he didn't like foreign fighters. The only problem is that we know he's actually got members of the Taliban and stuff like that at very high levels that work for him. So that's also kind of crazy. But that's why Jilani said. And what they refused to bring up is the fact that his father wrote a book, and in his father's book claimed that Jilani's family has, you know, a tie to the Prophet Muhammad's bloodline. And it wasn't that Jilani was against ISIS. It was that Jilani wanted ISIS or the caliphate to be Syrian-centric and not to be focusing on the outside world. Picture America first, but Syrian first ISIS, right? Like, that was his big deal. So with ISIS being kicked out of the country, with them turning over foreign fighters, that opens up the door for Jilani to declare his own caliphate. Deportation of Palestinian quote-unquote terrorists. Trump's wording, as quoted by the source, was to deport and hand over the Palestinian terrorists, referring to certain Palestinian groups and other figures residing in Syria since Assad's era, which both Washington and Israel classify as terrorist organizations. Intelligence cooperation. We're going to ask Syria for intelligence. We're going to ask Jilani for intelligence. I don't even know how I feel about that. And they are responsible for the ISIS detainees. Damascus must assume full responsibility for supervising and managing the ISIS detainees in camps within areas under its control. That within itself is freaking mind-numbing, because some of Jilani's fighters themselves can be seen wearing freaking ISIS flags in numerous videos and in numerous freaking like pictures, everything floating around online, even to the point when they were down in the south in Al-Sweda earlier this year murdering Druze. You had some of Jilani's men wearing freaking ISIS patches. So likely what's going to happen is Jilani's going to take those men, he's going to convert them, they're going to have their own caliphate, and he's just going to convince them to go under it. But what about topic number one that we ended up bringing up, which was signing and normalizing the Abraham Accords? He's got to get on board with the Abraham Accords. Well, that evening, Jilani went on Fox News. And what do you think he said when he was questioned about the Abraham Accords? Fox McCloud says, "I don't know how this is possible. As big as a degenerate rape Muhammad was, he didn't have any children."
President, the White House has said that President Trump would like Syria to join the Abraham Accords. The foundational principle of the Accords is that Israel has the right to exist as a sovereign Jewish state. Is that something that you agree with?
I believe that the situation in Syria is different from this situation of the countries who went on with the Abrahamic agreement. Syria has borders with Israel, and Israel occupies the Golan Heights since 1967. We are not going to enter into a negotiation directly right now. Maybe the United States administration with the President Trump will help us reach this kind of negotiation.
Oh, so you're not going to enter into negotiations, but maybe Trump can help you guys get into that. What he just stated was he's got an issue with the Golan Heights, like I told you. And in addition to that, he doesn't want to do it. And it's very clear the way Jelani just described and what he just said, in my opinion, what he's leading to is he wants control over the Golan Heights. And that's a huge problem. As a very huge problem, because you have the Druze that live there, and his men were just murdering Druze in Al-Sweda. Let's see here. Heater Haas says, Matt, did you kiss the wall when you went to Israel? No, I didn't kiss the wall. I actually took a knee in front of the wall, and I actually prayed in front of the wall. And if you are a Christian, if you are of any Abrahamic faith, it's actually really important to go back and study history and see where it's at. And that wall is just the, like, external proof, right, of the first temple on the mount. And if you go and you actually look at the archaeological stuff underneath it, what you're going to discover is that there was a massive structure that went over top of that. Now, the Palestinian Authority wants you to assume that that's not the case whatsoever and that it never existed, that all the Jews ended up coming over from Asia and all sorts of other stuff. And yeah, I've got the facts to actually back that up as well. And I want to thank Incog Faraday for coming in first and foremost and giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. But yeah, you guys heard that right. So Jelani, he wants absolutely nothing to do with the Abraham Accords. And if he does, he's going to expect Israel likely to freaking, you know, turn over the Golan Heights, or he's going to try to negotiate for something else. But it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. And we have all been trying to wonder what the heck was going on in President Trump's mind when he brought Jelani into the White House. Today, over inside of Canada, you're going to have the G7 summit. You're going to end up having world leaders from some of the top 7 countries that are going to be over there. And I mean the world leaders. You're talking about, let's see here, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK, and the United States. Marco Rubio, when he ended up getting off the plane, ended up having a deep, well, I wouldn't say a deep press conference, but it was asking or answering questions for some of these different news reporters. One of the questions actually involved Jelani and what the hell the Trump administration is thinking over inside of Syria. And Marco Rubio gave a brief explanation for why they're doing what they're doing over there.
It's a little safer in Washington than it is in Damascus right now. So I think that that's part of it. Look, we want to give these guys every chance to succeed. They told us what they want to do is create a national Syrian government in which every element of Syrian society is represented and feels safe. They don't want Syria.
All right. Well, let's stop right there. Joe Kent just went over to Syria. So I'll throw that out there. He's our national counterterrorism director. Joe Kent was just over inside of Syria. Number one. Number two, Jelani doesn't want everybody to feel safe. That's why back in March, the report from the EU Parliament came out that said over 1,300 Christians and Alawites ended up getting murdered just in that month alone. Not to mention what happened to the Druze, and not to mention all of the independent reports and videos that you can see of Jelani's men murdering people, primarily Christians. There's a video of a freaking transgender dude that got balled up by Jelani's men, and they're like beating the crap out of him in the back of the car and poking him with a knife. Like, it's just stuff like that. And so for him to even state that Jelani wants to have people, everybody over inside of freaking Syria feel safe, it's absolutely preposterous. Well, let's keep going.
Syria to ever again be a base of operations for Iran, for ISIS, or for any of these groups. They want it to be a country, not a launching pad for attacks.
Okay, cool. So we don't want ISIS over there. Agreed. But what we don't want to do is replace a terrorist organization, ISIS, with another one, a different caliphate led by a former Al-Qaeda member who Osama bin Laden canceled AQI or Al-Qaeda in Iraq because they were way too violent. Jelani and al-Baghdadi, wrap your freaking mind around this. Al-Qaeda in Iraq got disavowed from Al-Qaeda by Osama bin Laden because they were too violent. I'm not making that up. That's who Jelani is. Sure, we're going to get rid of ISIS, and then we're going to give billions of dollars to this freaking guy. Let's see how that turns out.
Against their neighbors. And so we want to give them every chance to succeed in that regard. The alternative is that if it doesn't work, if this doesn't happen and it collapses, then the alternative is going to be that Syria will fall into civil war, and it'll become a playground for virtually every dangerous element in the Middle East.
Here's also a news flash. It's still in a civil war. It's not going to descend into a civil war. Jelani doesn't control all of the country. There's still massive fighting taking place with the Kurds, with the Turks, with ISIS, with Jelani's men murdering Christians and frickin' Alawites and Druze. The place is already in chaos. It's not going to descend into chaos. It's already in chaos. Only reason Jelani is recognized as president is because they ended up sacking Damascus. They launched a BS vote and declared Jelani as the frickin' president. And then he flew his butt over into Saudi Arabia and met up with the crown prince, who gave his blessing. That's what happened. And then he flew to Turkey, who's America's, or who is like the second largest NATO country, and got the blessing from Erdogan. And so that is why he's there. Iran, yeah, we don't want him to have a freaking foothold. Got it. IRGC has been decimated and kicked out of Syria because of this. As a matter of fact, IRGC backed out of Syria before Assad left town and flew his happy butt over into Russia. And Iran's not doing so well, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Iran actually has a pretty violent, well, I don't want to say violent uprising, but it has the potential to be violent. A bunch of senior military officers have came out and said they are going to, like, they called for this Sunday, as a matter of fact, to have an uprising and for people to rise up and actually overthrow the Iranian regime. So the IRGC might not even be a threat in the near future, because the IRGC is going to end up taking care of itself. The people are finally tired of it. So we're replacing one leader. We're replacing ISIS with another radical freaking former Al-Qaeda member. And we're giving them billions of dollars. And they're already murdering people. Fission Mar says, Charles Lister claims Jelani has been working with the U.S. against IS and AQ since 2016. Of course he is. Of course. Why would you not? Why would you not? If I was in Jelani's shoes, this is such a freaking BS argument. If I was in Jelani's shoes and I wanted to take over Syria, if I wanted to have a caliphate that was Syrian centric, if I wanted to declare myself caliph, if I wanted to murder all of the Christians in that country and I wanted to get away with it scot-free and I wanted to be a legitimate leader, you're going to have to get rid of ISIS. Why not use the U.S. as a puppet? Why not provide them intel? Why not go along that way just so you can meet that? We can't just judge a man by his actions because he provided the U.S. intel. Do you know how many times over inside of the Middle East, people over there would give intelligence to their enemy, like to the United States to take out their enemies? Sometimes it was false intelligence. And we would end up conducting raids against people. And I will never forget the time we went to go do a raid over inside of Iraq against a freaking Al-Qaeda member and end up rolling up out freaking side of his house, hit that thing hard as shit. And the only evidence that this guy was in Al-Qaeda was a couple 7.62 shells that the source ended up sprinkling underneath his car to claim that the guy was in Al-Qaeda. What ended up turning out to be in the end was that he was actually, I think, his like competitive vendor or some crap. And I also watched that happen over in Africa. I've watched that happen everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Like, that is a very common thing for them to do. They're going to use the United States military to take out ISIS so they don't have to. They're going to use it to take out their enemies so they don't have to. And that allows Jelani to get to where he needs to go. And all he's doing is using the U.S. as a frickin' puppet in that instance. Just because he gave us intel on where ISIS was at and what ISIS was doing doesn't mean that he likes the United States of America. I can't press that enough.
And including a return of Iran, and it'll even strengthen Hezbollah. So we don't want to see that happen. So this is the best option on the table to prevent that from happening. It's a little safer in Washington than it is in Damascus right now, so I think...
The best option on the table to keep that from happening. My butt. My butt. There's lots better options on the table than putting a former Al-Qaeda member in charge of Syria. How about you just let them kill each other for a while? How about we do that? How about we stop trying to play frickin' politics in the Middle East because it hasn't worked out for us so far? U.S. troop productions over inside of Iraq are currently happening. We're now moving the less than 2,000 troops in Iraq up to the north to deal with the ISIS problem. Other than that, pretty much kicked out of the dang country. And how are politics over in Iraq? Well, them passing laws to have sex with 9-year-old girls and everything else. Yep, that's going down. Iraq's not exactly the most friendly towards the United States, despite what everybody might like to think. They still don't like us over there. They've been pushing inside of their government to get the United States out of that country for years and years and years. And the IRGC is a very big problem, and it's going to destabilize the region if something's not done about it. But like I told you guys, something is actually being done about it up over inside of Iran. So why the State Department feels like going about that is beyond me. You guys want to see a good option that could be going over there? The Kurds. The Kurds. United States government has been working with the Kurdish people for so long, it's not even funny. They've been over there fighting and attacking men like Jelani and men like ISIS for a very long period of time. But you know why we're never going to back the Kurds? Because that NATO ally of ours, Turkey, thinks that they're a terrorist organization. Here's them last night bombing the shit out of the Kurds. Now, we will never back the Kurds. We use them over inside of Iraq. We use them over inside of Syria. The Kurds were one of the main reasons ISIS didn't kill nearly as many people as they could have over inside of northern Iraq. We have betrayed the Kurds time and time and time again. And how did we reward them for their loyalty to the United States? And I'm saying this as a man that fought beside the Kurds. How do we reward them? By giving Syria to Jelani. By not stepping up to Turkey and telling them to back the hell off. It is probably one of the most appalling things that I can think of that we completely ignore the Kurds. Did we even bother talking to Jelani? Because he doesn't control all of that territory up over inside Syria, and saying, you know what? How about you give the Kurds a chunk of your crap hole country? And allow them to have a little safe haven to where all the Muslims in the area don't go after and try to frickin' kill them. And look at the comment section right now. United States of Europe. In reality, who didn't we do the same thing to? Yep, we abandoned the Kurds because they had nothing to offer us. Sad. Bingo. And they're also like minority over inside of Iran. They're a minority over inside of Iraq. People that Saddam Hussein was gassing, people that ISIS went after and was murdering. It's freaking sad. And we have used them time and time again and continue to ignore them. So to pretend like there's nobody and no better option or anything that we can get behind to bring some sort of peace over into the Middle East, it's absolutely garbage. Let the Islamic jihadists murder each other. I really don't care. Street Beat Live says the Peshmerga need our help. That's the Kurds, for those of you that don't know. It is freaking sad that our country is rolling over on these people. And to open it up and say that Damascus isn't exactly safe when we ended up having Joe Kent over there just the other day, dude, kiss off. It's absolutely freaking appalling. You could have conducted, like we could have conducted diplomacy with Syria without inviting Jelani into the freaking White House. It is so stupid. And just because I sit here and I crap on Trump for bringing a terrorist into the White House doesn't mean that I'm against every single policy and every single decision. It doesn't mean that I'm an anti-Trumper. No, it means that Trump did something freaking retarded. And when our elected officials do something retarded, it is our job as Americans to say that they're acting stupid. And it's disgusting. A man that was responsible for recruiting suicide bombers who killed American troops. I don't give a shit if he's giving us intel on ISIS. He's doing it for his own benefit. Why do you think he gave us intel on ISIS? Do you think he did it because he doesn't want to deal with it? No, look at where he's at today. He's doing it for his own benefit. He's not doing it for the people. And he's not some freaking like reformed, like, you know, extremist. He's still murdering people. He's still allowing all that crap to take place. And my question is, who is on Trump's cabinet that's advising him on this stuff, thinking it's going to be a really good idea? It's going to be a great, this is going to turn out great. Put Giuliani in power. Holy freaking crap. Whew. All right, I'm done. I'm done ranting about Giuliani. I'm done ranting about Syria. Instead, I'm going to rant about South Africa. Remember how South Africa ended up bringing a case against Israel for genocide and causing a big freaking stink up over in the UN and the international freaking court? Well, guess what? When it came time to put their money where the mouth was, and Palestinians arrived on a plane over in South Africa after 2 days of travel, guess what? South Africa said, we don't have room for Palestinians. Here's them on the airplane, and you're going to hear personal testimony from a woman in just a minute.
جايين من غزة هربين من الموت على جنوب أفريقيا الحكومة في جنوب أفريقيا مش راضي تستقبلنا احنا هنا عالقين في المطار نرجو المساعدة جايين من غزة.
Castle Survival says, can't the Kurds stand on their own? Can't they win? The Kurds actually could, but where are they going to go? And who's going to recognize them internationally? That's the problem. Is you need international support to stand up a country. And so let's say the Kurds carve out a portion of Syria and they go, look, this is going to be Kurdistan. We're going to call this the nation of Kurdistan, which arguably has more rights, more historical accuracy than Palestinians do. Let's say they carve that out. The big issue is the United States is never going to back them because of Turkey. And we have so many issues with Turkey, it's not even funny. So why do we continue to even bother listening to what Turkey says or thinks? We shouldn't. We absolutely shouldn't. Here's that Palestinian lady I told you about that'd be whining and crying about South Africa. This is probably one of the most ironic things of all freaking time, that South Africa ends up like bringing this massive case to ICJ, starting a whole freaking firestorm over everything, and then turns these people away.
وصلنا بعد عناء شاق الله بيعلم فيه يومين مستمرين من الشقاء والعناء من الباصات ومن الطيارات تفاجأنا مفاجأة حزينة جدا إنه الدولة مش راضية تستقبلنا للدخول بس لأنه إحنا ناس جايين من حرب إحنا ناس دبرت بيوتنا إحنا ناس أنا زوجي اشتشهد أنا بيتي راح أنا ما في عندي أي مكان أي ملجأ إحنا وين نروح بيكفي بيكفي
Well, I mean, I can easily state why. I mean, your people voted for a radical Islamic extremist organization, taught your kids hate, and Mein Kampf is the, like, I don't know, best-selling book in all of Gaza. So maybe that's why South Africa doesn't want you. But they do believe that you should be protected from genocide. But I can tell you where you're going to go here in just a sec. Fox McCloud says, this is what happened to Israel. They use their power and their influence to support a group so they can defeat the PLO. That group turned into Hamas. Yeah, you want a better historical example? How about the United States backing the Taliban when they were fighting the Russians? How about that one as well? Like, the United States sucks when it comes to picking out violent extremist organizations, which we should back because we think it's going to turn out good for us. We did not learn from history. We shouldn't have supported the Taliban because Russia was fighting them. Just like we shouldn't support Giuliani because he wants ISIS dead. Let him kill him. He doesn't need the U.S. support in order to do so. If he is the proper ruler of that country, Turkey is willing to back him. Let them freaking figure it out. But absolutely, absolutely, don't release billions of dollars to a man that is just as radical as freaking al-Baghdadi, only he wants to do it with his own borders. Now, this lady asked a question. What was it? I think she said, where do we go? Pretty sure I don't have anywhere. Well, that's not entirely true. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, if you want to know why nobody wants to take you in and you need another example, here's another example of a crazy Palestinian woman screaming, we're going to bring the Holocaust back, or words to that effect. You will pay, you will pay. Cry about the Holocaust. Yeah, no wonder why nobody wants to take Palestinians into their country. You know who tried it? France. And you know what happened in France? People got killed. Children got raped. And the Palestinians got the boot. Didn't work out so good for France. But you know what? If we're not going to learn from history, why not? At least we're not the only country not learning from history. Here's Italy. Italy decided it would be a good idea to bring Palestinians into their country, and they're welcoming in. Now, it's odd, like as I was debating Nate the other night, he was like, they can't go anywhere. They're locked in. It's an open-air prison. No, it's not. Italy opened up a program for people that want to attend their universities, and they're bringing in Palestinians by the frickin' truckload, allowing them to come in and go to their universities and their different schools. Look at this. This is your Italian foreign minister welcoming all of the Palestinians over into Italy. So if you guys are over inside Italy, get prepared because you guys are likely going to follow suit with what happened in France. Should have taken a quote from South Africa. Should understand from the United States that, yeah, we're not taking them in. Nobody else wants to take them in, but for some reason, these European countries think it's a really good idea to take them in. And I've got a great example for you in just a second of what an absolute huge mistake this is going to be for Italy. And it wouldn't, like, I don't even know how to say this. It didn't take long to find some proof of violent ideology that's just slowly leaking its way into Italy as we speak. So not only do we have the Palestinian people that poured across the border on October 7th, murdered a bunch of people because they just felt it was the right thing to do and conduct jihad. But do you think maybe that there is some evidence just of these people that are rolling in to Italy that might have some violent ideology in them, like, I don't know, buying your kids AR-15 shirts? Do you think maybe that was a good idea? Yeah, here you go. Here's some kids rolling in there, and it might be hard to see. Oh, there you go. So there's one of your peaceful Palestinian children walking in fresh with an M16 jacket. Nope, he's not the only one. What do we have, a guard saluting the kids in the background over here? For the love of freaking God. Yep, there's his little, like, Palestinian AR-15 M16 t-shirt. Look at him go. Oh, look at that. There's two of them. Look at that. I wonder, is this going to turn out good for Italy? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to run a quick poll. I'm just very curious with you guys that are in here today. Do you think this will turn out well for... Oh, no, I'm going to ask a more direct question. I'm just gonna ask this very simple question, and I want to run this poll for a quick sec. Pay attention to the chat. Very simple poll. Do you think Palestinians will cause violence and terrorism in Italy? Fox McCloud says, look at what happened to Lebanon. Right. Yeah, look exactly what happened to Lebanon. Now, as you guys start to vote, and as these votes start to roll in, this is why nobody's accepting the people to come to their country, on top of the kids wearing M16 shirts and all of that other crap as they roll in there. Black, by the way, with white. Right? Where have we seen that messaging before? Black on white on certain flags and what that ideology means. Do you think Palestinians will cause violence and terrorism in Italy? As these votes are rolling in, right now we are sitting at 88% yes with about 250 votes. It's almost to crest 90. 90% of the people in this chat say, yeah, Palestinians are going to cause violence and likely you're going to get terrorism because you let them into your country. UK didn't learn their lesson. United States hopefully has learned its lesson, but it looks like we haven't. Italy now gets to learn its lesson. France certainly did. 90% of the people say yes. 90% out of the 275 votes. There's no point in running that poll any freaking further. It's common sense. You don't have people that are raised on violent ideology like that that get to come into the country. Now, as the United States is busy dealing with things like that, and our economy is arguably not doing so good, the dollar's not doing well at all, the Red Sea's still shut down, and remember the Houthis that the U.S. went in and we decimated? Well, they're not decimated at all. Did we end up, like, you know, bombing the crap out of them for a couple months in, you know, Trump's first couple months of presidency? Yep, we sure did. We ended up launching huge attacks on them. And we honestly did it under Biden, but it was more defensive in nature. We ended up throwing frickin' our our destroyers and our aircraft carriers over there, and were more or less just swatting flies trying to protect commercial vessels that were going through the Red Sea. Then we ended up bombing the crap out of them, so on and so forth. Well, it hasn't really changed, and the Houthis haven't changed, and the Red Sea still remains shut down, and it has a massive impact still to this day on the European economy, which in effect affects America. Patrick Loudon says EU is already in decline due to radical Islam. This will accelerate it. Yeah, no freaking kidding. It's going to accelerate it. So not only did we just kind of like pack up and leave and let the Houthis continue to control the Red Sea, but now we are putting an Islamic freaking terrorist in charge of a country and releasing billions of dollars to him. And he's not even willing to say, yeah, I'll sign the Abraham Accords. Thanks. Nope. He's in such a powerful position that he thinks he gets to negotiate with Israel because Turkey and Saudi Arabia are backing him. And who do you think Israel needs the support of when it goes down to the security of Gaza and the rebuilding of Gaza? Well, that would be the kingdom. Saudi Arabia and the crown prince, they're going to need it. And so as long as Giuliani has that backing, and not to mention he now has a backing of the United States of America, it kind of puts Israel in that weird spot. And I'm not here shilling for Israel. I'm just stating that it is just a fact. Giuliani is a freaking terrorist. And that is not going to bring any peace to the Middle East whatsoever. Jeez, man. Castle Survival says, have a look at what I said earlier. Did I miss it? Bronx Gun Guy Hiller just coming in, donating $1. I appreciate it. All right, Castle, let me go back and see exactly what it is that you said, because apparently I missed it. I'm looking for it. What does Turkey hold over NATO that's stopping us? Well, we can't kick Turkey out of NATO. In order to do that, we're going to have a unanimous vote. I ended up looking it up, trying to figure out how the hell it's even going to happen. That wasn't even something that they ended up building into the framework of NATO on how do we get rid of a NATO country if we don't want one. Turkey has a lot of influence over that region. Turkey has a lot of influence when it comes to ISIS. So what does Turkey have over NATO? Literally a strategic position. That's what Turkey has over NATO. And Turkey also holds another claim against the United States as well. When the United States ended up enacting Article 5, Turkey ended up being the largest supplier of NATO troops over inside of Afghanistan. And they even controlled at one point in time Hakkaya, right? The main like base inside of the capital of Kabul over in Afghanistan. They commanded it. So as far as the United States goes, if we were to go against Turkey, we were to do that, well, that would look very, very bad because Turkey came in and allegedly helped us out when we were over in Afghanistan. Now, what message would that be sending the Islamic world if we go and we kick out Turkey? Because in my opinion, they kind of sympathize with ISIS a little bit. Flat effing broke. Gifted out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Thanks, buddy. Oh, man. Yeah, I feel you on that these days. All right. Shane X, Iranian Army Colonel Ibrahim Egei, all right, came out and he is actually calling to have an uprising over inside of Iran, like I said, this weekend. He put out this video, and when this video went out, I think it was 2 days ago, I've kind of held my tongue on it to see what was going to happen. I had to get like a little bit of background on the guy. Now, he is, I don't want to say like, it wouldn't be fair to call him exiled, but basically he is a colonel over in the Iranian military. All right, like he is a legitimate human being and he's calling for people to uprise against the regime. I told you guys that no successful uprising is going to happen without a backing, all right, of the military. If you're going to have an uprise, you are going to need the backing of the military. He's a colonel. That's it. He's not some massive political figure. He's not anybody else, but he does hold this position over inside of Iran. And now he likely has gigantic crosshairs on his head. Again, they want this to be going down starting on Sunday. So this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, you better have your eyeballs wide open, because if this actually ends up going down, there is going to be a civil war over inside of Iran. Now, do we see other signs of this civil war actually popping off or getting ready to pop off over inside of Iran? Yeah, we do. And I'll show you in just a minute. But the problem is that every time there's an uprising in Iran, the internet ends up getting cut off. They end up like all sorts of crap. Now, Iran's had issues over the last several months with electricity, with water, with, the United States and Israel bombing the living hell out of them. All right. And they're still like influence peddling over in the Middle East. And we know Israeli Mossad has a very deep network over inside of Iran. So I would venture to say that this guy likely has more support if he's coming out and he's making this video from some international players. We've been wanting to see, all right, a turnover of the Iranian regime for a while, and it takes the Iranian people to stand up and actually do something about it. Fox McCloud, Turkey is historical enemies with Russia as well. You are correct. But we also don't like their current connections with Russia either. There's a reason we didn't, we ended up going against the F-35 sales to Turkey because they also operate the S-400 system over there. And that S-400 system would allow Turkey and Russia to gain valuable insight on the F-35s, even though we'd give them a scaled down package. So while Turkey and Russia don't necessarily get it wrong, Turkey actually holds some pretty close ties with Russia as far as like the defense of their country goes, and that would be intel sharing as far as I'm concerned with an enemy of the United States of America. So we can't have that. I have a lot of other issues with Turkey that I would love to talk about publicly, but unfortunately I just can't. But the important thing is this right here. When I told you that when I told you that we really shouldn't worry about the IRGC for too much longer, this is why. This is why it's a bad idea for America to be backing Jawani, because there is stuff like this that's taking place. And instead of having patience and let these things play out, to go, do we really have to release billions of dollars to a former member of Al-Qaeda that was so violent that freaking Osama bin Laden got kicked out, a guy that we had to go over and shoot in the face? Is it a good idea to be giving them that man backing? No, it's not. We should let that play out. Now, do we see other signs around Iran that this type of stuff is actually going down? Yeah, we do. All right. There's another colonel. Okay. That one was Agay. I can't even pronounce his name right. Here's another one. This is Colonel Azadeh. Colonel Azadeh is commander of the Iranian ground forces, allegedly. Didn't do a good background check on him, but this is him coming out and speaking about the same uprising and the same thing. So we are starting to actually see more and more signs over in Iran that this very well may actually be happening. Do I see that man wearing a Ranger tab? No, that can't be. Is he wearing a Ranger tab? I love a freaking God. Yeah, no, it's just nuts. So if that's the case, and he is calling on the Iranian army ground forces in order to defect against the Iranian regime. So now we have, I believe it was an Air Force colonel was the first one. Then we have a ground force colonel that's doing it. Certainly looks like there's signs of an uprising that are going to be taking place within the Iranian military. And again, if you want it to actually be successful, that's what you need to have. Now, do we see any other signs of that happening? Yep, we sure do. This is the Tehran metro station, right? Tehran metro station. And you just have two Iranians dressed in a military uniform that ended up going over there flying the pre-Islamic government flag right in the middle of the metro station. You guys see that right there? So again, we're seeing other signs. Castle Survival says, what if we cause what happened in 2016 in Turkey to happen again? That again, if we get caught, I don't know what will happen, but if they succeed, is it worth it? Again, Castle, the U.S. government, in my opinion, needs to stop trying to freaking do nation building. We need to stop trying to back certain people in these Islamic countries because we freaking fail every single dang time. The only time we even came remotely close was over inside of Iraq when we removed Saddam Hussein. But what ended up being the cause of that? We ended up having lots and lots and lots of sectarian violence. We ended up causing a power vacuum. We ended up causing all of these different things. That's why when I look at Syria, I say, maybe just let these idiots duke it out and let's give a little bit of time to see what ends up happening. Now, these guys that are openly flying this flag, that's in direct defiance, right? This is like beyond, you know, social, whatever, virtue signaling type stuff. No, they're flat out doing this in uniform, holding up that flag. That would go directly against the Iranian regime. And some of the people that are loyal to the regime know that. That's why you see that guy that ends up coming over and going to rip down that flag out of his hand. Now, how long do you think this actually lasted before the regime came over and actually cracked down on those men? I don't think it actually lasted for very long. Matter of fact, I have a video showing the regime showing up and cracking it down on these men as they're freaking standing in there. Oh, come on. There you go. Now the regime shows up. So what's going to take place this weekend? What's going to take place over the next week in Iran is going to be very interesting. And I really hope that we get some good evidence of what's actually going on. Unfortunately, I think the Iranian regime is already going to start cracking down on this messaging and these officers. And unless they started moving ahead of time, which I could only assume that would be the right thing to do, right, to start getting this stuff going ahead of time, taking those men that are going to be loyal, that are going to be willing to fight, moving them to a different area. We might start seeing rounds popping off today over there. We might start seeing stuff exploding today over inside of Iran. It might not make it till Sunday. It might not make it to a day past today. These guys might start fighting freaking immediately. And the question is are we going to be able to see it? Now, have we seen signs that there's actually going to be a freaking uprising taking place over inside of Iran that has got a lot of support? Yeah. We have. And a lot of that was contributed towards Mossad agents. But those Mossad agents that were over inside of Iran, we know they were over there, for crying out loud. There was a video released of Mossad agents actually launching drones and shit over there. So do we know that Mossad agents were over inside of Iran? Yes, we do. Right. Do we assume that they wouldn't be influencing guys like this? No, we would assume that they absolutely would be influencing guys like this and backing them. And I also wouldn't be surprised if U.S. intelligence was also backing them. Now, the question is, because when Iran went, or when Israel was planning on attacking Iran last year, or in what? No, it's 2024. When Israel is planning on backing Iran back in 2024, U.S. intel community ended up having a leak of Israeli attack plans on Iran. I don't think that Israel would be willing to share this intelligence with the United States of America with the type of rhetoric that's coming out of America right now. Fox McCloud says we need a better soft power and espionage game. Yeah, we do. We actually, the United States of America, and people have actually talked about this, we are falling behind now. We ended up shifting our focus away from human intelligence and doing espionage type things to cyber. So we had a massive focus shift in our intel community over to cyber. And what ended up happening was, you know, it was good for a while, and then we started falling behind because everybody else ended up catching up. Things like this over inside of Iran are absolutely important to, like, the United States to be able to keep a pulse on. And I don't know if the United States actually had a pulse on it. When we start talking about Africa, I brought up and I told you guys that, hey, listen, it's not just Nigeria that we need to worry about. Why is the U.S. only concerned with Nigerian Christians being slaughtered? And I talked about Tesla's failed freaking lithium deal with the Nigerian government. That was kind of a problem, don't you think? I think that was a problem. So Tesla had a failed lithium deal. Then China ends up picking up, and all of a sudden Donald Trump's going off on it. Well, a reporter today actually asked Marco Rubio during the G7 trip why we're not basically doing crap about Sudan, where you also have Christians that are being murdered, arguably at the same rate.
The evidence, sir, that the Russians or the Wagner group, other proxies, are involved in Sudan in continuing this war?
Well, there's a lot of players involved in Sudan, but I think the primary challenge we face right now, and I'm not diminishing that what the other side has done or what other atrocities that have been committed and different groups that are playing, and that includes potentially the Iranians, at least money and weapons being flown into the other side. But I think our biggest problem right now, not to single them out, but we need to, is what the RSF has done in recent weeks. They don't have manufacturing capabilities. Someone's giving them the money and someone's giving them the weapon, and it's coming through some country. And we know who they are, and we're going to talk to them about it and make them understand that this is, it's going to reflect poorly on them. It's going to reflect poorly on the world if we can't stop this.
Okay, so another country where Christians are being murdered, we are going to talk about people that are supplying the weapons to them, likely Russia and Iran. And I think I've read in there, that wasn't Saudi Arabia. I'm trying to remember the other country. I don't want to slander another random country, but yeah. So Christians being murdered over inside of Sudan, hell with it. we're going to talk to the people that are supplying the weapons and try to get rid of it. Christians being murdered in a country where Elon Musk got kicked out from a uranium deal. No, we're going to war. We're going to go kill these freaking bastards. That's what we're going to do. Country right next door where Russia actually has a military base. Yep, we're going to end up going over there. Down inside Venezuela, we also have Maduro's military that is rumored to be mobilizing right now, getting ready for something. People want to know whether or not the U.S. is going to be dropping bombs. Then we also had, I believe it was CNN that ended up reporting yesterday that the U.K. was going to be cutting off intelligence with the United States of America because of our take on the UK. Well, dug a little bit deeper into that. Turns out Marco Rubio says that's not true. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio pushed back on reporting that the UK had stopped sharing intelligence on drug trafficking vessels over concerns about the U.S. military strikes in the Caribbean, saying that nothing has changed that was that has impeded Washington's ability to act. Speaking to the reporters after a meeting of group of seven foreign ministers in Canada, Rubio said one had raised the operation near Venezuela during the meeting and said Britain had not raised concerns directly with him. So nothing has changed. Our ability to act hasn't changed. One person ends up freaking bringing this crap up. Not such a big deal. Rubio also actually ended up talking about that as well. Excuse me. Did I say that was today? It was yesterday. I don't even know why I'm saying that. I misspoke earlier. You have to excuse me.
I don't think that the European Union gets to determine what international law is. They certainly don't get to determine is how the United States defends its national security. The United States is under attack from organized criminal narco-terrorists in our hemisphere, and the president is responding in the defense of our country. I do find it interesting that all these countries want us to send, you know, and supply, for example, nuclear-capable Tomahawk missiles to defend Europe. But when the United States positions aircraft carriers in our hemisphere where we live, somehow that's a problem. So I would say that the United States is, and this president has made very clear, his job is to protect the United States from threats against the United States, and that is what he's doing in this operation. I don't think.
Okay, so there you have it. Marco Rubio says everybody else can kiss off. If we want to defend the United States against narco terrorists, great, then we're going to do that. I actually went over on Real America's Voice this morning with Jake Novak, and he asked me about that. And instead of me sitting here rambling about it, why don't I just play you guys the clip from me on Real America's Voice this morning? I think maybe that'll just do something. Yeah.
Uber libertarians who really aren't that, they're kind of on the take. But who say that we should not be doing this and protecting our homeland from drugs that kill tens of thousands of people almost every month?
Yeah, you know, Venezuela is more or less a transfer point, right? Like when you look at a lot of the drugs and stuff like that that are going on over there, a lot of the cocaine is actually getting manufactured next door to Venezuela. And we also have a lot of drugs that are flowing into Venezuela from India. So when you look at what's actually taking place there, it's not that so much that they're producing a lot of it, but it is kind of like a central hub to where they go and they throw narcotics into Venezuela, and then it ends up working its way out. Because Maduro is not exactly the most, how do you want to say, upfront or above water type of guy that does, you know, straight business. He ends up making a lot of deals with these different cartels. And so then they're able to take those drugs and move them out through sea. If you had like a country like the United States, you know, we're going to make sure that all of these boats that are coming in, leaving our waters are actually looked after. But Maduro's likely making a lot of different deals with these guys. So that's why Venezuela is kind of a problem when it comes to these drugs flowing in and out.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful country with big oil profits. Hugo Chavez took over there, ruined that country. Memo to New York City, you elect a socialist, and even the richest and the most prosperous city or country can go into the down the tubes pretty quickly. Look, you know, Matt, you're having all these people who are talking about, well, it's not right for the United States to attack these gunboats, these drug boats. By the way, first of all, there are armed people on those boats. They do have the power to defend themselves. It's not like it's some kind of mercy ship. And people need to understand that this is an absolute war on the country. This is not an episode of Miami Vice with or Scarface where Tony Montana is trying to marry Michelle Pfeiffer and have a lot of fun. These people are putting these drugs into this country, not necessarily for profit, although there's some money involved, but they're doing it to destroy the country. This is an attack. It's just the same as if they dropped a bomb. It has the same effect. I wonder if you could like help our audience understand that this is not an episode of Miami Vice.
Yeah, number one, it's not an episode of Miami Vice. Number two, those drugs do in fact kill people. And number three, all of those people that are riding on those boats made a choice to step onto those boats. It's not like they decided that, you know, they were going to wake up in the morning and go for a lovely boat ride and they're going to go do some parasailing. And then the U.S. Navy showed up and decided to, you know, take them out. That's why they're out there doing what it is that they're doing. And I will remind people as well, if you do not like human trafficking, you also don't like narcotic smuggling either. When you have, you know, I say this every single time I talk about drugs, when you have drugs that are being moved in one direction, oftentimes you have bodies that are being moved in the opposite direction. You also have cartels that end up working with some people that, you know, are maybe not so friendly to the United States of America. You know, I've got a theory that one of the main reasons possibly we've got so much of our naval forces that are deployed down to that area is because you do have, you know, drugs that are moving in from India. And if you guys didn't notice, over in India the other day, they had a massive terror bust where they ended up arresting numerous terrorists, and they had ricin. And it was enough ricin mash in order to kill upwards of 250,000 people. And ricin, it doesn't take very much. You look at ricin, it's a lot like fentanyl, right? Just a little tiny bit can do a heck of a lot of damage. And so it is possible that using those same smuggling routes that you have that working its way into the country as well. And those are all things that we need to prevent. So there's my take as far as what is going on over inside of Venezuela. But I also add in, you're right, oil. Massive amounts of freaking oil over inside Venezuela. Of course, the United States has some sort of interest down in there, and Chevron's definitely capitalizing on that as well. So people that are sitting around thinking that it's not a problem, yeah, it's a problem. But do I think that the bigger problem, likely that the U.S. is interested over inside of Venezuela, has to do with Russian and Chinese influence? Absolutely, 1,000%. I really do think that that is one of the bigger problems, not to mention terrorism, trafficking, and things like that that are going to be going through there. So that's my take on Venezuela. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate Jake for having me on his show this morning. Really, really, I really appreciate that. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Epstein. Everybody's bringing up like the massive gotcha on the different files that came out. And I talked about that yesterday, and I went over Epstein, and I really don't want to get too in depth with it because honestly, Epstein crap just freaking blows my mind. I love Bill O'Reilly. All right, I used to watch Bill O'Reilly a lot when I was younger. Got a lot of information from him, read his books. Really smart guy. I love Bill. Hear him and talk on this and just looking at his face here on the screen. Bill, I love you, but you kind of have Joe Biden vibes at this day and age, just throwing that out there with the way that you talk. But he brought forth some really good information that I think everybody should hear about. And the fact is that Epstein's attorney, after Epstein died, no longer has that confidentiality requirement. He actually got asked whether or not Trump was involved. Like, Epstein got asked by his attorney about Donald Trump.
What we see today is a bunch of innuendo. It's hearsay. There isn't any direct backup for any allegation because there aren't any allegations other than Trump may have been in a house where there are some girls. Right. Okay. So you have the lady in question, and I feel very bad for Miss Giuffre's family. He committed suicide. What a horrible thing. The whole thing is just awful. And that's right on Epstein. You have her saying under oath, Trump didn't do anything, and you have Maxwell. But here's the most important person you have, not under oath, Dershowitz. Dershowitz was Epstein's lawyer, and lawyer-client confidentiality ends with death. Dershowitz went on television today, said, I have all of the Epstein stuff, and there isn't anything. And I asked Epstein directly, while I was representing him, whether Donald Trump was involved in any kind of untoward activity. And Epstein said no. So now you have the three principal...
There you go. Epstein's attorney asked Epstein if Trump was involved, and Epstein told his attorney no. Trump was not involved with any sexual intercourse with any of these freaking girls, any of the sex trafficking. He had absolutely nothing to do with it. So the man's own attorney, the dead man who likely didn't kill himself. Well, let's be honest. Epstein didn't kill himself. The man who didn't kill himself told his attorney Trump wasn't involved. And that should shed a little bit more light onto those emails saying he's the dog that hasn't barked. And knowing that Trump was cooperating with the investigation into it for 2 years, providing information to authorities and attorneys. For 2 years, Trump did that. When they describe him as the dog that hasn't barked, clearly they're implying that he is a freaking threat.
And if he goes off and he opens his mouth, that's a threat to Epstein. That's why in the other email that they released yesterday, it certainly looks like they're trying to come up with a way to blackmail Trump. Now, I don't agree with Trump's policies over inside the Middle East right now. Don't even agree with his policy for how he's dealing with Russia. Love what he's doing here in the homeland, going after, chasing after illegals and a lot of other things. But this isn't about that. Fact is that the man wasn't involved. That's what the evidence directly points to. But at the same time, I will say release the dang Epstein files. There's not a single American on this planet that doesn't want the files released. Swamp Cleaner says, Matt, reach out to The Quartering or Tim Pool and get on their shows. Their audiences desperately need your insight. A lot of eyes would be opened. All right, I'll see what I can do. Yep. Castle, I see it. Gotcha. Gotcha. I think I've actually seen that video myself already. Now, Epstein files, yep, I want them released. And with the Democrats coming out and stating all of that other freaking crap, you would think that they would actually want those released. Well, here is a vote for unanimous consent to get the freaking Epstein files released. And guess what? It got blocked. They wouldn't even let it go to a vote.
What purpose does the gentleman from Tennessee rise?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on the Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 4405 and ask for its immediate consideration in the House.
Under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
So the answer is no. They won't move it to unanimous consent in order to freaking release the Epstein files. Instead, they want to bring it up for another freaking vote and sit there and play freaking politics. Just throw it up for unanimous consent vote. Release the dang Epstein files already. Let the American people get it. It's probably going to be like the damn JFK files where it turns out to be a giant, not a burger, where we really don't get anything. But we can see exactly how deep this freaking thing goes. Epstein was a sick guy. Absolute sick guy. I want to present this to you guys that I really didn't even realize was a thing that ended up getting sent to me and came across today. In 2011, Emirati billionaire Sultan Abin Salam emailed Jeffrey Epstein under subject line smart shoes. He suggested that he could help supply shoes embedded with GPS tracking technology to monitor kids and clients. Epstein replied, thanks, great idea. That man happens to be the CEO of DP World. It's a massive logistics company with ties to the Emirati military and the industrial complex. And guess what? Guess what? He gets pictured with Epstein, and Epstein has pictures of this man over inside of his house. Like, they are sick people. And just like that man, we deserve to know who the hell is involved in all of this on a world stage. We, the American people, deserve to know that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another great episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Tonight, I'll be coming back and I'm going to be talking about a freaking military base that the U.S. plans on building over inside of Israel. It's supposed to be huge. We're going to be dumping like 10,000 troops over into this freaking base and countless taxpayer dollars. What do you guys think about that? Do you think the U.S. is actually going to get involved in Gaza? No freaking clue, but we'll find out later on this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I am out of here.